I'll begin my talk this morning by reading one of Shinran Shonin's Wasan hymns. This is actually, these are two hymns, and this topic had been on my mind since I had heard Sasaki Sensei's wonderful talk about his book, which I'll talk about a little later. But this Wasan just sort of fit perfectly with that. And Michael and I actually chanted these Wasan this morning at our 9 o'clock Shoshinge chanting. And so I thought that it was a wonderful, fortuitous Dharma connection I wanted to share with all of you. 本日のご和さんが、この間、佐々木先生の、が本を書いて、それについて、このテーマについて話したんですけど、これを関連する和さんはちょうど今日、マイクルさんと一緒に朝お勤めしたので、皆さんと一緒にちょっと味わいたいことをしたいと思いました。Invite you to join me in 合唱。合唱をお願いします。Through the vast benefit of the unhindered light, we realize Shinjin of vast majestic virtues, and the ice of our blind passions necessarily melts, immediately becoming water of enlightenment. Obstructions of karmic evil turn into virtues. It is like the relation of ice and water. The more the ice, the more the water. The more the obstructions, the more the virtues. Muge koun no ryaku yori itoku kodai no shin no hoete kanarazu bon no no.氷とけすなわち菩提の水となる在所苦毒の体となる氷と水の如くにて氷おきに水を欲し触りおきに So this Wasan talks about how the ice of our blind passions, the ice of our greed, anger, and ignorance melts to become the water of enlightenment. So this is saying that our base passions, the difficulties, the confusion of our lives, that itself is the stuff of our awakening.
で、この和さんは、この、まあ、煩悩即菩提という仏教のお考えなんですけど、この私の煩悩というのは、むさぼりと怒りと、ね、愚かさがそのまま、それが氷として、それが溶けたら、その同じもの、水のように凍ったら煩悩、そして溶けたら菩提、悟りのものとして説かれていますね。
And so, I've had this kind of idea on my mind ever since Sasaki Sensei's talk last Wednesday evening when he said that this is really the key to the future of Jodo Shinshu in America.
Sasaki Sensei はこれは Jodo Shinshu のアメリカ、この国の普及のまあ、基本となるとおっしゃって、私はそれからずっとそうですねと考えながら思いました。
And this, I think this truth is expressed in the memoir that Sasaki Sensei composed and recently published and is very graciously making available to our Sangha.
そしてこの佐々木先生がこの自分の思いで書いた本あって、この中にこの本質が書いてあると思います。
The title of 先生's book is Out of the Mud Grows the Wisteria. Out of the Mud Grows the Wisteria.
道路から藤が咲いてくるということですね。
So there's a traditional Buddhist metaphor, out of the mud grows the lotus.
まあ仏教の一つの伝統的な、まあ、比喩としては、例えとしては、道路から、汚い道路から綺麗な花、綺麗な蓮の花が咲いてくるとよく言われますね。
So from this dirty, dirty mud, the beautiful, pristine lotus blossoms.The lotus is the symbol of enlightenment. If you look up here, it's a little difficult to see, perhaps from where you're sitting, but if you look closely, the image of the Buddha always stands upon a lotus.
そしてこの仏様の仏像が必ず蓮の花の上に立っているということは、蓮は悟りのことですね。
So the lotus is enlightenment, right? And the mud is our base passions, our greed, anger, and ignorance.
そして悟りがこの蓮の花で、煩悩がこの道路の汚い水ですね。
So this tells us that in the midst of our everyday life, in the Nembutsu, that the wisdom of awakening blossoms.
そして私たちの日頃の日常生活の中に悟りの花が開いてくるということですね。
So I've very much enjoyed reading Sensei's memoir, and I wanted to share with you today one of my favorite chapters that I think really captures this spirit of how in the midst of our daily lives and our everyday activities that this lotus of enlightenment, this lotus of kindness and understanding blossoms.
そしてこの一部を皆さんと一緒にちょっと私がちょっと読みたいんですけど、これをみんなで聞いて、このままこの日常生活の中にこの悟りの花が開いてくるということですね。
So this chapter is called Tell Me About My Monshu Father.
そしてこれは Tell Me About My Monshu Father。まあ英語しかないんですけど、まあもし日本語を知りたかったら後で佐々木先生日本語で説明してもらってください。
So I'll read this in Sensei's words. This book is, of course, written in English. So I'll read the English. It was during his first official visit to the United States around 1950 that I had the rare honor of personally getting to know the abbot Kōshō Ōtani, the father of abbot Kōshin Ōtani, and the grandfather of the present abbot Kōjun Ōtani. This special relationship was made possible because my late father, Reverend Sensho Sasaki, was the minister of Sacramento Buddhist Church, now called Betsuin Temple. As the son of the minister, I was probably a convenient choice to drive him around for various unofficial errands and visits. The then young abbot, who was maybe 40 years old, seemed to like having a young guy like me show him around Sacramento and nearby towns. As a former Sacramento Young Buddhist Association president, I gave the abbot a gift of our YBA basketball jersey and trunks with Sacramento YBA 8 ball on them. Without any knowledge of Honganji protocol, I asked him if he wanted to shoot some basketball in the Sacramento Kaikan gym. He consented, so we shot some basketball with a church photographer taking some photos. I sent this basketball photo to his son, Abbot Kōshin Ōtani, who was so pleased to receive this rare picture of his father that he asked me to visit him in Kyoto and to tell him more about his late father's younger years. Following up on this invitation, I arranged an informal meeting with the abbot on April 4th, 2012, in Kyoto's Nishi Honganji Temple, with the assistance of Reverend Kiribayashi, the director of Nishi Honganji International Center. My wife Helen and eldest daughter Sharon, with her husband and two young daughters, Zoe and Ava, then ages 9 and 7, were also able to attend. Our meeting was nearly canceled due to a heavy windstorm that stopped all the trains in Japan the day before the scheduled appointment. We were fortunate to catch the first train from Fukui to Kyoto on the day of our meeting, but our honored guest had to wait for us for almost an hour as we frantically caught a cab from the Kyoto station to the vast, recently renovated historic temple. Upon arrival, the anxiously awaiting Reverend Kiribayashi rushed us to the official lounge. We were privileged that Lady Noriko Otani could also join us, and she was gracious in receiving us. My concern was how my young granddaughters were going to behave, as they were unaware that they were meeting such a distinguished couple of historic importance and prestige. By way of comparison, it was like meeting the Pope in Rome. The abbot and lady entered the lounge after we were positioned to take certain seats to greet them. As the customary tea and sweets were served, we awkwardly did not know when and how to have the tea. We did catch on to the etiquette as the abbot said, "Dozo, please have the tea." It was slightly embarrassing to see the granddaughters taste the unfamiliar Japanese sweets and enjoy them as if they were having ice cream. The abbot asked me to share some of my memories of his late Monshu, spiritual leader father. And I told him a story about his family name, Otani. When I drove his father, to the then very modern El Rancho Motel in Sacramento, and he was asked to register, I saw him sign the register book as Kosho Otani. Observing this, I had the innocent boldness to tell him that Otani was an incorrect way to spell his name in English. He had spelled it O-T-A-N-I. I suggested an H be added before the T to make it sound and read as his family name was pronounced in Japanese. Believe it or not, he and his son, the current abbot, have signed their family name Otani, O-H-T-A-N-I, and not Otani, O-T-A-N-I, ever since then. I also recounted other memories of his father's younger years. His father loved sports, particularly golf. He was such an avid golfer that he organized his own golf group and tournament with his temple members. I can still recall the time when some of us BCA golfer ministers, including Reverends Junjo Tsumura and Reverend Kosho Yukawa, took him to a beautiful golf course in the San Francisco Bay Area. I had the privilege of riding in the same cart and was amazed he was such a rule-observing golfer. He would hit the ball even if the ball was in the gully, unlike our usual practice of moving the ball and taking no penalty. I would also like to mention the incident that day during lunch, when a green worm was found in his salad. We were so embarrassed that I do not recall what we did or said other than to have the salad returned. He also loved to borrow one church member's Cadillac. He would drive, and I would sit next to him as a passenger. He would often stop the car and take photos of commercial road signs. We even had lunch at the then popular Stan's Drive-In restaurant with a car hop lady who would bring the meal to the tray attached to the car door. At that time, there was probably no such drive-in restaurant in Japan. I was kindly scolded for these informal, unscheduled activities with this most important Buddhist person, who could have been injured playing basketball or gotten sick from eating at a drive-in restaurant. We once went to a shop for Lionel Electric trains for his young son and Rice Krispies for his family. This kind of activity showed me a rare view of the human side of the abbot, his caring and loving attitude toward his family. I had the privilege to see and experience the whole person. Perhaps it was this kind of friendship that inspired him to write me letters when I was a student at Tokyo University in the 1950s. He would write asking how I was getting along with my Buddhist studies. Thinking about it now, this was truly a most privileged and unforgettable relationship that could not happen even in the next life. It was also a great honor I was able to share the memories of this most important spiritual leader of our historic Buddhist faith with his distinguished son. To recite Namo Amida Butsu is the only way to express my gratitude. Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu. I love this story because it captures how the venerated descendants of Shinran Shonin and his tradition, who for us are in so many ways the embodiment of enlightenment, enlightenment and the awakening of birth in the Pure Land, that they come and they dwell with us. They live with us. They're human beings, people just like us. And this shows us that the truth and the beauty of our Nembutsu tradition is that it's Buddhism, the Buddha Dharma, lived in the midst of everyday experiences, going to a drive-in, playing golf, eating a salad at a restaurant. These everyday activities are the place where we encounter the wisdom and compassion of the Buddha in our lives. So this memoir of Sasaki Sensei's is full of these wonderful episodes and these gems of the Buddha Dharma. And so I'm truly grateful to Sensei for providing us with this treasure and this great dana of his memory and his experiences, these little snapshots that most of us will never get the opportunity to have these kind of experiences and to learn about a time when the Buddha Dharma was just beginning to flourish in this country. And I think it gives us great appreciation for the moments that we enjoy at present. Sensei, in conclusion, I wanted to share one gem of wisdom that Sasaki Sensei shares from his late father. He says, "My late father constantly emphasized the importance of the past by using the example of a person jumping. He would point out that without bending your knees, knowing the past, you're not able to jump, to progress ahead." So I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for us to know the past and to think about how the Nembutsu will continue to leap into the future and to support and sustain our community. Sasaki Sensei ga kono omoide o iroiro kaite itadaite, hontou ni watashi tachi hokubei bukkyou kai no takaramono toshite sonzai shite imasu ne. 先生がお父さんの言葉でこういう過去を知ることはとっても大切なことで、一つの例えをするんですね。その足を曲がってね、足を曲がって過去を知ること、それをしないと飛び上げるね、将来に飛び行くことはできないというんですね。こういう真実はこの中に、よくよく書かれてるんですね。So I wanted to thank you all for joining us today, and I wanted to thank Sasaki Sensei also for honoring us both with this wonderful memoir and for joining us for so many of our temple activities. So in conclusion, please join me in Gassho. Gassho, onegai shimasu. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.